Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Coming in loud and clear.
All right. Thank you. All right. This is 9 p.m. Eastern, the 13th day of December, Christmas getting close, of 2017. And this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. Well, folks, things are getting exciting in Nevada and elsewhere. The trial resumed after being off a week on Monday, or at least it was supposed to. But the jury came in. And during the week when they were off, the defense submitted all kinds of motions. And so they had an hour-long discussion, after which the judge decided to, she first told the jurors to go home and not to come back until Wednesday, which would have been today, if at all. And she said that the trial could very well become a mistrial or a dismissal. Later in the day, the word came out that jury will not be back until at least the 20th of December. So I guess things got a lot more serious. Now, what has happened is the defense submitted a Brady violation being the fact that the opposing attorneys failed to turn over evidence to them. In other words, the prosecutors were trying to hide evidence from the defense. And I say hide because they truly were, by saying this stuff didn't exist or wasn't applicable or whatever excuse they had. And the judge remembered ordering the prosecution to turn over some evidence in November, and it still had not been turned over. And so prosecution is not smiling. They're no longer happy. The judge is seeing the truth. Of course, it helps that the FBI came and interviewed Judge Navarro and caught her in a lie or two. Come to find out that she was taking orders from Obama. So she's in trouble. And so now she's trying to cover her own butt. So, yeah, things are getting exciting. But, there's still motions being submitted. There's a lot of discussion going on. There's sealed courtroom issues, and we don't know all that's being done because they won't let anybody in the courtroom to hear what's going on. But the defense is working very hard to get a dismissal. And I just got word earlier today that a whistleblower from the Department of Homeland Security came forward and talked with the defense and gave them the information that back during the standoff at the Bundy Ranch, the BLM being led by Daniel Love, had intended to kill them all. They had a list of people that they were going to kill. They start with the family, the Bundy family, all of them. And then the defenders that showed up. Evidently, they got too many defenders showing up, and they decided they better not take the chance. But all of that is coming out now. Can you imagine if you were sitting in this trial as courtroom observers, the education you would be getting on corruption, as well as the Constitution? Because the Bundys are pushing the Constitution out there. They're teaching it. I believe that with all this information coming out, this has to have an effect on the previous trials for the Oregon case. You know, I think it's going to get all tied together. I really think that everybody is going to be released. I think they're going to have to dismiss all the trials they've had so far. And then if it's a mistrial, then the government will have to decide whether they want to move forward with doing it again. And with the climate in D.C. right now, I don't think that the DOJ will go for it. And I think maybe it's probably higher now, but the last count I saw was 9,000 sealed indictments. I think it's about time to start going out and arresting them, opening up them sealed indictments and go for it. Okay, anybody have any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Jim. It's just the same old, isn't it, Robert?
Yeah, it is.
It's really quite unbelievable that there's so many government employees out there that are doing this corruption.
Well, yeah, but look at all the years that they've had to set it up and infiltrate into all the agencies and everything.
While the mass population is watching NFL football and
right,
not even aware of what's going on.
Right. Well, you know, for years the white hats, the good guys in the different agencies, they were so outnumbered and everything, and the leadership was deep state, that they were afraid to say anything because they would get pushed out or killed. And so they just kept their mouths shut and gathered information. Well, now all that information is coming out. And it was the White Hat FBI that interviewed Judge Navarro and put some fear in her. And
well,
I even heard a rumor
about,
yes,
Obama giving her orders. That's a trusted source.
As far as I know, yes, they seem to be good. Well, we knew that when Obama left office, he set up a shadow government. And we also got the word the other day that when Trump first came in, he set up an investigative team secretly, paired them up with trained spies, and they went undercover going through the different agencies. And it was discovered, it was the Department of Transportation, Department of Agriculture, and I think it was probably, I can't remember exactly, but it was one of the important agencies. It might have been the Energy, Department of Energy. And the leadership there was still taking orders from Obama. And so Trump got rid of them, but I'm sure they're probably on the list to be arrested.
Well, that certainly looks like a great big conspiracy if a federal judge is taking orders from a person who is no longer in office.
Well, it appears in the election last night in Alabama that a federal judge there was trying to help deep state. You know, it's come out that there was all kinds of fraud in the election, and this judge at the Alabama Supreme Court told him to go ahead and get rid of all the ballots. Well, Roy Moore went to court and put a stop to that today. And right now they're having a recount. But there's another federal judge that appears to have been working behind the scenes with deep state.
So we have 9,000 sealed indictments. That means the person charged times 9,000, most of them, they may suspect that they're one of them, but they really don't know, do they?
Well, I think with the ones that they've gotten written up, they're probably pretty sure of. But I believe they haven't. This is just my opinion. I may be wrong. I don't know. But I think probably they started off writing the indictments on those that they were absolutely sure of. And then as it goes on, they'll get down to the ones that are suspect. But I think they're holding off on arrests simply because they don't know who all is deep state yet, and they're trying to drag them out of the woodwork before they make a move on arrests, because you don't want to miss any of them. You want to get all of them, because if you don't, then later on down the road, the ones that they miss will rise up again and start the process over again, or try to. So I think they have a plan for rounding them all up at once and not let any of them get through.
Well, maybe then Thursday.
That's my opinion. That's not been told to me by anybody. That's just my own thinking.
Well, that's logic. But once they start prosecuting these people and get confessions, that could be times.
The numbers are going to go up once the people, because you got to know that once the arrests start, there's going to be a lot of cutthroat people trying to make deals by turning in their buddies.
Exactly, like Navarro starts talking about who is the administration that is telling her keep on the Bundys, irregardless or whatever. You know, that's find those persons.
Yep. You're breaking up.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see to know the whole truth. All I can do is go through and gather information from the different sources that I have and see how many of them match and start connecting dots and come to a conclusion on most of it, because the government is not going to say too much. Just like during the campaign, Trump said he was going to drain the swamp, but he wasn't going to tell anybody in advance what he was doing. He said, you'll hear about it after it's done. Well, it has to be that way. But there are people talking. There are people who've, some of the sources have a lot of training in the workings of government and the different agencies, and there are some ex-CIA agents and some ex-FBI agents and NSA that are talking. Some, they're retired, and they probably have a pretty good idea what they're talking about. Of course, you have to be careful that some of them are not deep state putting out phony stuff, but we do our best to get through them and try to find the BS and get rid of it. But still, no matter how hard we work to get it all straight and truthful, we're not going to know until it's done. But it gives me great hope that we're going to have our republic back. There's a lot of mistakes being made right now by deep state, because they really did not make any plans for failure, because they were so sure that Hillary would follow Obama. They were overconfident. When this all goes to trial, some of this stuff is just going to be so unbelievable to the jurors. People are going to have to change their thinking, because so many people cannot wrap their head around the fact that there are so many people in America who are crooked and corrupt.
Yes, I'm wondering what the sheeple, how they're going to react to this. So they'll just change the channel?
Yeah, a lot of them will.
These indictments could include media people. They're the ones that have been lying to us.
Well, I'm sure that they will. In fact,
that's an orchestration of lies.
Investigation has shown that there were media who didn't want to go along with it, but were threatened that they'd better go along with it.
Well, Alex Jones is telling us that Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, men like that are patriots, and
yes,
that they're on our side.
And, yeah, I have no doubt about them.
Well, I can sure remember the years that they were really pushing the program for what turns out to be the deep state. So it's tough for me personally to accept that.
Well, you also have to understand, I think, that
jobs on the line.
that, well, you know, I think most Americans...
They didn't realize how serious it was?
They didn't realize just how bad things had gotten, and a lot of it sounded pretty good just to hear somebody say it. But that's the thing, they, you know, the word game, they make it sound like it's something that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact it was something that's going to, you know, not be so good for anybody.
Well, show me the money and I'll go along with it.
Well, I'm sure that we're going to, as time goes along, we're going to find some people who we've thought to be totally honest all along. We're going to find that they were actually deep state. And same way with some that we think are deep state may actually be patriots. But only time is going to tell us.
Just have to wait and see.
Yes. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, like under common law, the idea isn't to lock people up in prisons unless they have to. If they can come up with a plan by where they turn these people into good citizens, then we give them a chance. There'll be some that's so far gone, though, that they're not going to be, you know, there's no rehabbing. And those are the people that'll be locked up. But even the grand jury, the common law grand jury, has the authority to try to set up a solution before it goes to court. And so maybe a lot of those that are arrested will never see the inside of a court because they've made deals outside the court or whatever, but they're going to have to be honest deals. I mean, I don't think we the people are going to allow any more crooked deals to happen. And if they do, we need to fight it. We need to stand up and march on them.
Is Jan here tonight from Kansas?
I don't
see her.
I'm
there.
I'm here. Yeah,
yeah, she's here.
What do you think about the situation, Jan?
Which one? The Bundy?
No, I was thinking of the 9,000 indictments.
Oh, well, I'm just delighted that the number keeps going up. And I hope that ends up being a small number. There's been a lot of criminal activity that's gone on against the people, in the name of the people, not just in our own nation, but internationally. And it's an embarrassment, you know, to us to have our identity stolen like that. They've stolen our name and our money and our children. They've stolen our young men and women and our reputation, and they've taken it out and really just smeared us throughout the world for a really long time, telling us that they were keeping us safe and protecting us. And
my understanding that there are arrests being done in foreign nations at this time too, and you're right that you know, this is a worldwide event. It's not just here.
Mm-hmm. I just don't see any excuse for it. You know, I hope that they're held to the same standards that we're held to, and I just think that's fair.
I agree.
Yeah. I just got more word on the Nevada court that it's a video. I have to wait and watch it later. But it appears that the prosecutor and the judge are scrambling for some reason. It's a agenda.
Doesn't make sense.
Agenda 21 truthblogspot.com.
Doesn't make sense. They're going to bring the jury back the 20th week. So that'd be a Wednesday for three days of trial before Christmas.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there will be a trial. I think it's going to be dismissed.
So
they may talk about a mistrial for a while, but I think when it all comes out, they're going to just decide it's better to dismiss all of it without prejudice or with prejudice, whatever it is, where they can't come back.
These judges and prosecutors just are not familiar with how to say we're dismissing the charges. That's a dirty word to them.
Oh, yes.
But
they may not have any.
Down to.
They may not have any choice. Well, you know, I told you that the Brady violation was submitted, and one of them is bad enough, but there were actually seven of them submitted by the defense. That's unheard of.
Well, that's fraud, and those prosecutors ought to pay the piper for, you know.
Well, I gotta believe the judge, the prosecutor, and those, the DA and the prosecutors, all of them are gonna feel the hurt, because what it's showing is that. The case against the Bundys has all been lies and deceit. So it's built on nothing but lies and deceit. And the BLM is going to feel it too, especially the leader that was there, Daniel Love.
I think we could assume that whoever was in the plot to just kill him before the support showed up would be the same people that
I think you had the same people. In fact, I know Daniel Love was in Oregon, too, for that little thing there. And so, I believe that a lot of the same people that were at the Bundy Ranch were in Oregon for this last one. So the thinking is all the same.
And there was a couple of things that Alex Jones mentioned this week that were pretty interesting. One of them is that he, I think it was today on First Hour, he explained how they operate. It's called parallel construction. I mean, this is just one of the constructs that they use to bring innocent people down. It's called parallel construction, and Alex gave the best explanation. I kind of became aware of it like 4 years ago, but he really gave a concise and a really good explanation of it. But they do it so that they can get around the judge and that they can get around the Constitution. And they know that these people are innocent, and they're just, they don't, to me it's like they're not even bothering to frame the people. You know, they're not even doing that. They're just knowing that they're lying about somebody. They do this thing, this mechanism, parallel construction, and then they take the case to court and put the people in jail forever. The other thing that Alex mentioned this week was that, I think it was Twitter, but I wouldn't swear to it, that, no, I don't think it was Twitter. Somebody said, maybe it was YouTube, said that because Alex Jones' image is on their platform, that they own his image. And that kind of goes to, like, in these court cases where, say, take, for instance, Crystal from Connecticut with her house, what I'm learning is that they take ownership of the title to the house, just like it sounds kind of similar to what they're doing with Alex, is that they're taking ownership to his image, and they're saying that he doesn't own his image because they were on his platform. Well, now I'm just going around in circles because I can't really explain it. But I think that throws a concept out there where what they're doing to take ownership of people's property and other things is that they're saying because you're connected with them in some way that now they own what is yours. And I think I'm putting this out there because I think that that's going to be a big ball of SHST that we're going to see being rolled out sometime in the next few months of the fraud that they've used to do that to innocent people. And I yield.
Well, what they, you know, if they want somebody's land, normally they try to find some dirt on you, and what they do is they accuse you of crimes that they themselves are guilty of, and since they are government officials, then people give them credibility. And if you're just another citizen, that government official in people's minds is more credible than you.
Right.
And so they win the case built on because people don't realize, you know, it's just so easy for somebody to believe, well, he's a government official. He's not going to lie to us. I hope they wake up. But that's how they get it. And it's what they've done to the Bundys and other patriots. And they tried to paint a picture of them, how vicious and everything that they are, because they have guns and make it sound so bad. But if people just look, there was no violence, not at the Bundy Ranch. Mr. Bundy and the Patriots, too, were there, and they made sure there was not going to be any violence on their part. Yeah, they carried, and they were ready to defend themselves, but they made sure that none of their people were going to start anything. And so the only violence has been from the BLM and the FBI. Well, now I think they're going to pay for it.
I call it lawless violence.
Right.
And probably the thing that might be really important for us to get out, I'm just saying, I'm feeling this in my own heart, is that just because somebody accuses somebody of doing something, I mean, people, I don't know what's the matter with them, because if somebody accuses somebody of something, there are so many people just willing to just jump right on that. I don't know whether they have a damaged self-image themselves or what would make somebody do that, because there are just an enormous amount of people. I'm thinking even over half of the people now, they do not say, where's the evidence? They say they're accused of something, and somebody wouldn't. I mean, they must have done something. So, I mean, it used to be like, you know, when I was growing up, like in the 60s, we were taught, even in school, that there has to be evidence that there, you know, I'm not going to explain it to everybody because y'all know it too, but they don't even do that anymore. People just, they're just so brain dead, they just say, well, that person got accused and so they must have done something wrong, or the police wouldn't say that.
Right. Well, yeah, just, you know, just look at somebody accused of child molestation. It doesn't matter whether it's the truth or not. People are going to believe it is just because they were accused of it and arrested.
Stigmatized.
Right. And there's a lot of people. I'll bet you probably 90% of the people who are locked up in prison are innocent.
I think so too, Robert.
But,
it's a money-making thing. It's a profiteering.
We were never meant to be a nation that was going to imprison people. You know, because with common law, work out a solution. Somebody made a mistake. It doesn't mean they have to be locked up. Work out a solution to where they can make, you know, pay a fee, you know, a restitution or something. But don't ruin their lives for making a mistake. And so, you know, if somebody kills somebody or something, of course they got to be locked up and tried. But the way we've gotten to is, like you say, it's just money. It's somebody does anything, they're locked up and fined hundreds, thousands of dollars or something. Money, money, money.
Well, what I read recently was that Michael Sabbie, S-A-B-B-I-E, Michael, he was locked up for being accused of verbally assaulting somebody, and I guess that's a Class C misdemeanor. If I remember right, I didn't commit it all to memory, but accused of verbally assaulting someone and he gets locked up, that's where he died, in jail. They threw him around and threw him on the floor. There's a video online, and then they threw him in the shower, and then they threw him in this room. I mean, I'm talking about there was five or six guards that jumped on this man, and they threw him into a cell, and he laid there. He was saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And he'd been saying he couldn't breathe, and they let him lay there on the floor and die. And, I mean, this is just, I mean, it is shameful. That's what's going on.
That's what they were doing to Ammon Bundy in Nevada. They were trying to kill him.
I believe it.
How do you give restitution on something like that, Robert?
I don't know if there's enough restitution to cover it when it comes from the law enforcement people like that. I don't know how you deal with that, but it
made me think of out in California about 2013 or 14. There was a 14-year-old boy who was walking down the street with a toy rifle, And policeman drove up, and it was a policeman who trains other policemen how to operate, and he drove up and killed the kid, thinking it was a real gun, and no prosecution on him, just a mistake.
Well, that's, that's what's happening these days, and it's wrong to...
Well, they're gung-ho.
Excuse them like that.
They're gung-ho guards, they're gung-ho policemen, it's because there's been no authority controlling them.
Right. Well, I can understand them being jumpy or because of all the cop killing that's going on, they're bound to be a little concerned and jumpy for their own safety. But they need to be trained to, as a way to make sure that they're not killing somebody wrongfully, like, look at the gun.
When I was a kid,
look real enough, but you ought to be able to tell by looking.
When I was a kid, I used to pedal around on my bicycle with a BB gun rifle, and I have to say that it's a different world.
Yep, it is.
There was, for one thing, all the times that my memory of those days, I was always on the edge of the city, out in the mesa, shooting horny toads or shooting at whatever was moving and hardly hitting anything. But the world that exists right now, I think we ought to work real hard to try to change it back to the world of the 1950s or 60s.
Well, that's what we're really trying to do, is take back the Constitutional Republic and get rid of all these statutes and laws and the corruption and everything and get back to what we had. I mean, when I was a kid, from the time I could be out wandering around by myself, I carried guns and, rifles, sidearms. I went everywhere. And nobody ever gave me a second look. I can imagine now if I was in the case, me walking out there, not even 10 years old yet, carrying a rifle, I'd probably get shot. We never, ever gave it a thought back then. So, yep, there's been a big change. But I'm really hopeful that we get back somewhat to where we were. Maybe get some honesty back and... get people to thinking straight again. It's another reason, though, that we need the committees of safety. Committees of safety take care of their own county and keep everything straight in their own county, and that way we're not going to have problems in government.
Yeah, and if we can get back to realizing that our states, our nations, that the United States of America isn't really a nation, it's a union of 50 independent nations, if we can back off on, that. I mean, we're still one people, I don't mean to sound
right.
like that, but, if people in... let's say California, if they want to have sanctuary cities and they want to support them without federal funding and without sucking off the rest of the nation, then they can have that if they want to do that. And then if people, say in my state, in Kansas, if they want to have it where we don't have sanctuary cities, I'm just saying that if you take, for instance, the Middle East or Europe, and you split all those nations up, they're all doing things a little bit differently to suit their culture. And once the culture war is over and we can be ourselves again, why, I mean, maybe having 50 states where everybody does what they think is right. If you don't like it in Georgia, move to Massachusetts, you know.
Yeah.
I really think that's the way the nation, I mean, that, see, I'm still doing it. I really think the way that our union, confederation, was set up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Constitution says you have the right to live your life as you see is right. You know, that's being free.
Right, and right now they're trying to legislate behavior, you know, so
right.
that everybody's stuck into one mold and everybody's goose-stepping to the same tune, when that wasn't, I don't even believe that that was the intent, you know, originally for our Union Confederation,
well,
or whatever it really is called.
Well, it's unconstitutional for any legislature to make law governing the behavior of we the people.
That's right. And I don't think, I'm not sure, but I don't think that is unconstitutional for the state, is it?
Governing the people?
Well, can't the individual states, I mean, since they have legislative authority over, say, marriage or education and that type of thing, can't they sort of legislate, like if they were going to have gay marriage or not, or...
Well, first off, states have their own constitution, but those state constitutions must stay within the bounds of the federal constitution.
Right.
And so the federal constitution says no legislature will make law controlling the behavior of the people. Well, the state then cannot do it either.
Jen, this is Val from Florida.
Hi, Val.
Regarding the gay marriage, our country, our courts perceive the marriage as the right. It doesn't matter, men, women. And Miranda versus Arizona says when the rights are involved, there's no rulemaking. You cannot make it. In Florida, I think there was 2010, like probably most states, people went to the ballots and they voted that marriage is between men and women. A few years later, the Supreme Court ruled an opinion that since marriage is the right, that people vote doesn't count. You may agree with it or not if the gay marriage is the right, but that's how they perceive. Remember this, when the rights are involved, it's no rulemaking, no lawmaking. And John Durash have a 20-minute video on the front page about the county sheriffs. There's beautiful cases over there. I mean, that's what you need in your life. Watch this 20 minutes, and your life is straight. And you will understand. I yield.
Well, there's, you know, when we take back the courts, the get our constitutional republic back, almost every law on the books will be null and void because they're statutes. And statutes are not binding on we the people. Statutes are for giving direction to other government agencies on implementing laws and whatnot.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal.
How are you? Okay, like, for example, you know, with all these illegal foreclosures that happen here, we found out, I found out last week when we went to court, I asked them about the Constitution. I said, well, who changed the names and all this? So she goes, it's under Section 42. It's the Connecticut General Assembly. I said, well, who put that out? She goes, oh, you're a legislator. I said, well, they're all attorneys. She goes, no, they're not attorneys. It's the state rep and the legislator. I said, but that's not even under the constitutional law. I said, is that why everybody in Connecticut and all over is losing their homes? I said, that started under, excuse me, Shelton Silver, who is now serving a life term in jail. I said, he was one of the spearheads of that Ponzi scheme. And I also said, I said, what about the no due process and proof of claim? So she goes, well, I can't get into all that. And this happened in the federal court. So today when I went down there, because I got this letter yesterday from the court, and I went down there, but it was for the other party, they wrote me stating that I was a serial fraud and I'm prejudiced and I will not relinquish my house. So they want everything dismissed. But yet, I was asking, you know, I gave them a list for what they had to answer, and they refused to answer. So the trustee attorney turns around and puts all this, and I'm like, wait a second, the trustee is the one who's supposed to be representing me, supposed to be partial. I said, I also have some cases to settle. She will not implement that. They want my house. And she goes, you only can sell it for $200,000. And I'll probably get $40,000. I said, wait a minute, my house is worth about $700,000. And I've had my house for over almost 18 years. And I paid what I paid for my house. That's what they want from my house. What was it? The other thing I was going to say. And I said, well, I said, I should have. She goes, no, there's a law. I said, what law is it? She goes, well, there's a statute where we could sell it for what we want to sell it for.
You have to create an appraisal, Crystal.
Excuse me?
You have to create an appraisal for what your house is worth at this time and get evidence
right.
of
as
that.
Right, and as I said, I used to work in the assessors, and as I said, I keep the, even like the properties that are being sold around here, you know, because it's not the house, it's the land, you know, because I got over a quarter of an acre, and it's in a good area. But what they're doing, with like, as a matter of fact, it's the GE Federal Credit Union, which I hear, well, they moved out of here, and they left a whole lot of toxics, and that's when we had that huge fire back in 2014, everybody got sick, and there was over 100 different drums, and everybody's getting cancer. Now, and they were in, they're putting a school on that site, which, and they said, well, it's okay with the neighbors. I said, well, what do you want? It's neighbors. So one side of the school is a graveyard, and the other side, everybody's dying, you know, but it was airborne, and the state should have been shut down. And now they moved out of Fairfield, and now they're up in Massachusetts, and I guess there's some big scam going on with them, so I guess they're going to be laying off like 13,000 people. You know, but I'm, and I said, wait a minute, these are the same nuts that are trying to take my property, which I've never had a mortgage or nothing with them. And there's not a single, there's nothing.
And what did you say about 10 days ago that they actually changed your name, or what was it? There was.
Right, what did, okay, my mortgage was paid off in 2011. The attorneys went and put their name and GE Credit Union's name on my property till November 13th, 2014. That was 3 years and 8 months later. And I'm like, wait a second, you know, because I used to do the recording. You know what I'm saying? So anytime there's any transaction or whatever, it got to be done within that 24 hours or what have you. Not 3 years and 8 months later, you know. So it looked like I took out a new mortgage with them. No. There was no mortgage, you know. So there's some other things, but as I said, when this trustee, this what, no, what are they? It doesn't matter. But anyways, when she had the audacity to say, I'm a serial fraud, and I don't know what to do with my property.
You're breaking up, Crystal. We can't hear you.
You're not coming through at all, Crystal.
She said I'm a serial fraud, and I'm prejudiced, and I will not relinquish my fraud.
Crystal, maybe you should hang up and call back on a different line, because we just missed everything that you just said.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I picked up the phone. Okay, what had happened? I went to the court today, you know, to put some papers, and all of a sudden they said, oh, we got this as of yesterday, so I guess I'll be getting that letter tomorrow. And what the trustee attorney did, she wrote up a report against me, which is not supposed to be, she's not even supposed to be writing up anything. It's supposed to be the attorneys that I had sent the letters and questions, you know, the proof of claim, no due process, can I see, you know, I want a sworn notarized affidavit when I took a mortgage, and you know, so they're all backpedaling. So now the trustee attorney, she wrote the report up against me stating that I was a serial fraud and I'm prejudiced and I will not relinquish the property, and I'm playing games, filing bankruptcy, this and that. You know, like, oh, here, you could have my house. After I paid all this money for the past 18 years, you know, and taxes, insurance, repairs, what have you, and it's just like, what does she think? I'm a nut to not fight for, you know what I'm saying? And and then what they're doing here in our state, anybody who's losing their home that they're taking, you know what they put on there? Abandonment. Not foreclosure, abandonment. And I'm like, and I said to them, why are you writing abandonment when you foreclosed on the property? So now, for the few people that I do know that lost their homes, the house is still in their names, because everybody's waking up and, you know, we're trying to tell everybody with the National Liberty Alliance, our constitutional rights, you know, because, and I said, and I want the jury, you know, and it's just, it's the judges and the attorneys. They're stealing everybody's settlement. It's so corrupt here, it's ridiculous. They stole everybody's property. They're putting a casino in. It's a nightmare what's going on.
Yeah, it's happening.
Can you hear me?
Around here, too.
Yeah. You know, but it's just like with the eminent domain, proof of claim, no due process, you know. And I wanted to sworn. But there's this court is bad. So I'm going to be filing some other papers and just keep following. I'm going to be continue to follow through, you know. But
yeah.
Now I have to write what I did do. I got the applications, and I think everybody definitely needs to do this. Start writing the grievances up on all these attorneys and find out how many attorneys are in each state. Like, I found out there's 30,000 attorneys in Connecticut. We're the third smallest state in the United States, and there's 169 towns, so that's 177 attorneys per city and town. Well, why are we in the deficit? Well, guess what, if you're paying all them how many millions a year, you know what I'm saying, and they're the ones who are buying all the properties, getting everybody's property. And they're putting everything, like, into a 99-year lease. And they're also putting everything into a gated community. So, therefore, eventually, people will not own nothing. You will just be leasing. And that's their whole little game that they've been playing. You know? And a lot of people don't even realize. I'm sorry?
It is a game that they're playing, and only they know the rules.
Right, exactly. And it's the gate, but it's what they're doing to all this property and the land that they're stealing from everybody is putting everything in a gated community and a trust. You know?
and the people got a 99-year lease. So in the event they should get sick or expire, they can't even leave anything to their family because it goes right back and stays right back, and they start all over again. So they charge them $350,000 or whatever, you know, because you have to be a certain age, within a certain income. It's crazy, you know. And so, and when the people sign these contracts, you know, they're going to be duped out of there. And I learned that when I was, before I left City Hall, this woman sold her home for about $345,000. And then she, you know, bought into the gated community. And when she decided she didn't want it, she wanted to move elsewhere or whatever, they told her she's in a contract and the only thing she can get out of was $10,000. So yeah. What happened, she went into the bank and refinanced it on her own, and she let it go into foreclosure, you know. And I had heard about this incident because somebody I knew who was selling real estate told me, I said, oh, my God, that's what was going on. So I never forgot, and when people buy, I said, don't buy in no gated community, you know, because there's a lot of them popping up around, and we're not even realizing, you know. You know, well, what's the contract? What is this all about? You know what I'm saying? And you never own the land.
Yep.
So, and that's what people definitely need to know. They want the land.
And one other thing, Crystal, that's really important. I don't know how to connect all the dots yet, but that's why when, as we go into the courtroom observing type of thing, or even when we're talking to people or writing our papers or anything like that, one thing that I feel like has been shown to me is that we absolutely need to make sure that we say American traditional common law, because what you're describing with the trust and the abandonment and the never owning the land, that is English common law. That's the feudal system. And if we don't, if in our paperwork we fail in our paperwork to stipulate that we're talking about American traditional common law, and I think Roberts called it American, but maybe not, American jurisprudence. If we don't get that American traditional thing in there, they can, like, say any kind of common law they want. It could be Sharia law is common law to a Muslim. So I'm just repeating myself because I really think
okay,
it's
wait
so
a minute.
Important.
So you say, I say it's American? America?
Okay, yeah, American. I'm saying American traditional common law. And then I usually, in parentheses, I put 1776 or circa 1776 or something so that my papers stipulate that that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Sharia common law. I'm not talking about English feudal common law. I'm not talking about anything but
American
what we
traditional
have here.
Common law.
1776 oh. In parentheses. And that's just how I'm doing mine.
Right.
Okay.
Well, where they're getting away with this abandonment is that, you know, they just like they've tried to do to Crystal, they come and tell her she has to be out of her house. And they haven't even gone to court type of thing, you know, for a lot of people. And they're getting notices, you must be out of the house. Well, a lot of people just go ahead and move. Well, once they've moved,
right,
then they've abandoned. And
exactly.
So they list it as being abandoned.
All right.
But no. But no. What that's not the whole thing. They do a foreclosure, and they have you evicted out of your house, a foreclosure eviction.
Oh, I understand.
Then,
yeah, they do.
And then on your deed records, they turn around and write abandoned. As a matter of fact,
right,
there was this one case last year. The attorneys changed the date on a Saturday, right? Because they had the eviction for Thanksgiving, which I said, this is bogus. I said, it's Thanksgiving. So, and I told her, I said, don't say nothing, you know? And she called, I guess when they called, she said, well, that's Thanksgiving. So what they did that Saturday, they changed the eviction for that Monday. I said, the courts are closed. So who in the world signed off on this? It was the attorney and the marshals that did this. Okay, they came to her house that Monday, and they started evicting her. I said, call the police. I said, this is fraudulent. Get everybody. You know, she had everything, and I was there with her. Do you know? She just let it go, and I said, you know what? I could fight for you. I said, I could help you. As a matter of fact, when I had it on, we even brought the media in, and I said, do me a favor. Have your husband and your son to record this. So what the TV station doesn't record, this, that YouTube or whatever, that tube, whatever you can record.
Yeah.
She wouldn't do it. And I said, what was the purpose of me bringing the media in when they're going to cut out the main things and the whole story? I mean, so you know what? You go on the limb to help people, and it's just like, forget it. You know what I'm saying?
People are afraid of the power.
But I'm just saying, if you got people that's going to support you, to fight for you, I'm an advocate. I fight from elderly,
yeah,
children, disabled, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It gets a little tiresome, but I just got, that's why I'm late tonight, because I just got home from the Kingdom Hall. And I just keep on praying to Joe, all these evil things that these people are doing. But, you know, is enough.
I understand, but the people are so afraid that they're going to get thrown in jail or get in some sort of trouble, and so they're afraid to defend themselves.
Well, they've been arrested some of these attorneys, you know, because they've been perpetrating the fraud, stealing people's money, estates, and
Did you say they have the right to do it? Did you say they've been arresting the people up there, Crystal?
Yeah, they've had some arrests. Some of these attorneys, and a lot of them have been, you know, because they've been stealing people's trust. Oh, they've been doing so many crazy criminal things, you know. I told you, even like for my two of my cases, the attorneys settled and they kept me. So I got to go to the police department and get a warrant for their arrest. And I said, you know what? This time I'm following through on everything, you know, because I contacted the Attorney General's office about this bogus illegal foreclosure. Another thing, everybody needs to contact their state legislator, their congressmen, their senators. Now's the time to put them all on the spot. Because I've been contacting all of mine, and yeah, two of them are definitely responding now. The only one who's not responding is the head of the Congress. But a lot of them are all attorneys, you know.
Yep.
But as I said, when are they going to stop this illegal foreclosure all around the country? And everybody needs to contact, I don't care what you are, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, what, contact them. Put them, this is the time, the best time to put them all under the hot seat, you know?
Well,
because
it's
now
time
they're going to start pointing the fingers.
It's time for the people to stand up united and help each other fight.
And put them on the hot seat, yeah.
And this is,
you know,
this is once again where if the county had a viable committee of safety, then they could stand up for the people that are being injured like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would unite the people in the county to work together.
Yeah, because so many people keep calling me, and I tell them, you know, I give them the information. You know, listen on the call if you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm dealing, I am dealing with so many different things. You know what I'm saying? I try to steer them in the right direction. I go to court with them. I said, I'm going to court. This is how we have to handle it, you know? And we got to be business to be supportive. You know, please take the notes and stuff like that. Because, as a matter of fact, last week when I had five witnesses, and they were taking their notes and everything, and I got to get those affidavits and things put together. You know, they were a little, I'm not sure. And I said, well, it's, you know, about the Constitution. She goes, well, that is under the Connecticut State Assembly. When did that law go into effect? Do you know when it went into effect for taking people's property without signing their names or nothing like that? It went into effect in 2011. Imagine that. 2011. I said, well, wait a minute. But I said, this is not under the Constitution. She goes, this is under the Connecticut. We don't even have sheriffs.
Well, does that have something to
do? Sorry?
They've done away with sheriffs in Connecticut.
I mean, we got a few. We got a few sheriffs. But, you know, it's the marshals. You know,
well, does the thing that the assembly decided in 2011 have anything to do with Agenda 21?
I'm sorry, the what?
Agenda 21.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Does that decision that they made to take people's property away from them in 2011, does that have anything to do with that UN taking over the land? It's called Agenda 21.
I don't know.
Well, there's something.
I really don't know.
Google Agenda 21, Crystal, and it's a shocking awakening of what's happening from that end. Also, a UN Agenda 2030. 2030 replaces Agenda 21. Well, anyway, folks, it's after the hour, and it's time that we
okay, you said Agenda 21?
Yes, Agenda 21.
And what's that? The foreclosure?
No, it's Agenda 21 is a plan by the UN, and there's a lot of stuff in it. It's nothing to do. I mean, it's... It shows how they're trying to take over the U.S. And
okay.
It has an effect on it has an effect on what these judges and everybody are doing too.
Right. And they also said, what is it about the court judge court fraud?
Well, it's not specifically about court fraud. It's just
okay.
If you know what Agenda 21 and 2030 is, then you understand a little more clear about what the judges are doing.
21 and 2030?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for that information. We just got to keep our eyes and ears open. And I said, you know, Satan's powerful, Jesus mighty, and Jehovah's almighty, and I'm just leaving it all in his hands. You know, we're going to continue to plug through what we got to plug through. You know?
Right.
Because what's in the dark, he's going to bring it all to the light, and it's all happening now.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Hang in there, Crystal.
Okay, thank you.